Good evening. It's great to see everyone. Let's all stand. Number 612 in your hymn book. He keeps me singing on that first verse. 612. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I'm with thee. Peace be still in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting in His sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face.
Much. You may be seated. We'll get started here in just a little bit. I remind you, if you don't have to rush out right now, but Brother Dan will lead us in another song here in just a little bit. If you forgot to get the juice and the bread on your way in, this is the Lord's Supper night, and what a wonderful time as a church family just to kind of take a little bit of relax there and just slow down and remember what the Lord meant it for. It's a great opportunity for the church family to look back to see what Christ has done for us as we look back to the cross. And then He said we do this in remembrance of Him until He'd see us again, until He comes. And so we look forward to the time when the Lord will come and receive us. And so we get to do that as a church family and get to have this Lord's Supper night. And so I want you to thank you for being here. And I believe that the Lord will give us a wonderful, wonderful evening. We've got a lot planned in that, just to get to hear from some different folks of the church, and then also, though, just to stop for a little while. And so one thing I'd like to do tonight is I'd like to thank Brother Franco, and I'm going to ask him to come up and open us in prayer. He preached for us last Wednesday night while I was gone, and so I thank the Lord for that. And he led the singing Sunday while I was gone, and then he sang a special while I was gone. Since while I'm here, he doesn't do anything, but while I'm gone, he really does do a lot of work. And so no, he has been a blessing to have around, but this is his last service, and so I trust that you've got to know him over these couple months, a few months he's been here, and the Lord has used him in a special way, and I hope that as he leaves, he says the same thing, that the Lord has blessed him because of us. I know he's blessed us because of him, and so we're certainly thankful. So I'm going to ask him to come and just say a word if he wants to, but pray and open us the service in prayer. Then we'll have a few announcements and keep us up to date on a few things, but it's just been a joy. Let me remind you, Franco, that you've been a joy to have around, and he's gotten to stay in our ministry house. You remember when we remodeled that, the downstairs is really equipped nice for an intern such as himself or two, and so we're grateful that the Lord provided that for us, but then we're also thankful that the Lord provided us with Franco, and then he'll head back. I think he's got a wedding to go to, but he'll start college again here in just a matter of weeks, and so I want us to remember him and to be praying for him, asking the Lord to strengthen him and bless him, provide for him. So Franco, you come pray for us, will you? Thank you.
this wonderful evening, giving us today to be at your house. Just pray, dear Father God, you be with each and every single one of us for this service. Thank you, dear God, for just what you provided us with salvation, dear Father, Lord. And I just pray we continue to serve you in every which way we can. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Well, just keep you up to date on a few things. Next Sunday night, we will be having our ice cream social. And if you need to sign up for that, there's a sign up in the lobby. Ice cream is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I am very thankful for ice cream. So looking forward to that. I know it'll be a great time. And the golf tournament is coming up. And if you haven't signed up for that, the sign up again also is in the lobby. And there's more information about all of those things in your bulletin. And so you can keep up to date on all of those things.
Will you stand with me once again? Number 29 in your hymn book. Let's sing tonight about the love of God. Where would we be without God's love? Amen. Number 29.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest man.
One more time, just your voices.
Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
You may be seated.
I stood in the courtroom the judge turned my way. It looks like you're guilty. Now what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor. I have no defense. But that's when mercy walked in. Oh, mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Called to the stand, God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. I stood there and I wondered, oh, how could this be? Someone so guilty had just been set free. My chains were all broken. I felt born again. Forgiven when mercy walked in. Oh, mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Called to the stand, God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. Oh, the blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in.
Amen. When mercy walked in. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother David. Appreciate that. And I hope that that blessed mercy walked in. I'm so thankful for the mercy of God. Well, I'm looking here at the schedule, and so I'm going to bring a message. But before we do that, I'd like to have a few testimonies from some folks. So Daniel, if you don't mind, and Kyle, would you start off here with Brother Bobby Brown? He religion has come to our church, and he's down on the main floor. I've never seen him sit down here except when he wants to make an announcement or something. So
It is a privilege to serve and look back.
That's, I'm not you sure got him I'm on not. That one, man.
Number two. All right, sounds better. It is a privilege to look back about what God has done for all of us. He did it on the cross, shed his blood, gave his body, gave that sacrifice. And then now to have the privilege to share that with future generations. This morning, Pastor didn't know this when he asked me to do this, but I was upstairs greeting the kids as they came up. And one of the little girls came up and she said, "Here's what happened this week." She got saved this week at home.
Amen.
And to see the future that we have, not just looking back, but see the responsibility we have to share this with everybody that we encounter is a privilege. And I just thank the Lord for what he did and the opportunity we have to serve going forward.
Amen. Amen to that. Brother Kyle, if you'll take it back to Rick Hall, I'm not sure where he ended up. Revival. Oh, he's right there. Goodness gracious, I'm gonna have a heart attack. I'm only 50. Rick Hall's this close to front, and Bobby Brown's on the main floor. My goodness.
I got religion too, huh?
I guess so. We just have the altar call now. All heads bowed and eyes closed.
We go home. Yeah.
Easy now. No. 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 No.
See, I guess August 11th, 1956, my birth date. And yes, it is coming up again quickly. But about 10 years later, I'd have been fifth grade. I thought I accepted Christ through some probably not so clear presentation of the gospel. But then from that time on until I was about 16, I was bombarded with confusion and doubt, and Satan really wore me out on that. But age 16, I forget the message I heard, but it started stirring my heart. And I guess it was around July 4th weekend, somewhere in that area, 1st of July. And it had been about 73. That's when it really got serious. God was working on me, and Satan was too. But I remember going to a service, a Sunday night service, and I accepted Christ, and it was real. I got the real thing that time.
Amen.
But of course, you know, and being young like that, I think a lot of doubt creeps in sometimes. I think you dealt with that too, probably in your life. And but it's you know, it's a journey of growing and getting close to God and serving Him. So I just appreciate the honor it is to serve Him.
Amen. Amen to that. Well, let's see, Daniel. I don't know. I'm looking for Larry Trent. Religion's done helping. He didn't even come to church. The other men are coming forward, and Larry's heading out. So let's see. Kyle, would you take that back to Ron Smith? He's right there, back right there to your left.
Thank you.
Hey.
That's a little loud. Back in September 16, 1971, as Edgar Gamble said, God sent out His high sheriff. I was in revival meeting with J. Harold Smith, and J. Harold had one famous message called God's Three Deadlines.
Yep.
Through that service, I was wondering which one I'd passed. I mean, it got me. I went to the altar. Well, as I got to the altar there, the devil kind of worked with me, and he wanted me to join the church. But God gave me a vision there. And I saw a wall that you couldn't pass. And I saw hell that you didn't want. And I decided the choice was the family instead of the joining the church. So God saved me then, and He turned me inside out. And it's even that way today. You can't see it on the outside because I look pretty much the same then. But on the inside, He did a work.
Yeah.
And it really comes down to, and I say this because I'm concerned as I see other people. I was in a different church, and I had head knowledge, but that don't get you to heaven. Why? Because Jesus says this at the white throne, I never knew you. What does that mean? Well, I knew all about Jesus. It don't matter. You can know all His stories. But you got to have a moment where you accept His free gift mm-hmm. of eternal life through Jesus by accepting Him. That night He gave me the Holy Spirit. Three things happened for me. First of all, I had a peace that's unspeakable. It only came when that Holy Spirit came in. Second thing, I went out and I started looking at the Bible and the light turned on. Hey, I got the teacher inside now. Not on the outside. And another thing that happened, I started thinking about my family, friends. He made me a soul winner that night.
Yeah.
So God had a great thing going.
Amen.
And I like a song that I've heard. I've heard it a few times. Oh, what a Savior. It's in the book. It's written back 2 years after I was born, 1948. And so this guy, Marvin Dalton, wrote that song, which I really like. And I was just listening to the cathedrals singing that tonight, today. I started crying again. That happens to me. But I would change one thing that author wrote, and that's this. The line where he says, and you know it up there on our choir director, they searched through heaven and they found a Savior. No, that's not the way it went. Before the foundation of the earth, Jesus was the Savior.
Yeah.
He knew He was the Savior. As He went to that cross and did what we're going to think about tonight, He knew everything that was going to happen.
Amen.
and still did it for me.
Amen to
and
that.
And us. So, yes, that song is a great song, but they needed to change it. He wasn't the one they found. No, he was already there.
Amen. Amen to that. Daniel, would you mind bringing up to Jordan Smith? Jordan, would you give a word for the Lord, would you, as we get ready to, as a church family, to look into the Lord's Supper, just something that the Lord put on you?
Well, it's a joy to be with you tonight. It's a joy to serve the Lord. And before you called me, I was thinking, Lord, I wish I could just testify. And so I'm thankful that God saved me. And on the way here, we were listening to a new song. And that song simply said this. It said, I'll never understand the verse, for God so loved. And what he was saying was, he'd never get over the love that was shown there. And he can't explain it. I can't explain the love that God had for me and you.
Amen.
When he took my place, he knew as filthy as I was, every dirty, rotten thing that I ever did. He knew it before I was even born. He still looked at God the Father and said, Dad, I'll go. Yeah. He took my place. And so it's nice to be able to slow down and think about what he did on Calvary. It's enough to keep going for. And I can't wait to tell one more person about how God loves them just as much as he does me. From the IV drug user to the alcoholic to the suit and tie religious man who doesn't know Jesus.
Yeah.
He died for us all. I'll never understand for God so loved, but I can't wait to tell everybody else about something I'll never understand fully till I get there. But oh, it's good. So I thank you for the opportunity to say one more time, I love the Lord. And
amen.
I'm thankful he loved me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, as we're thinking about that, Kyle, you can take it back to Danny Jenkins if you would. And as you're thinking about that, just in case you wonder, you know, I always wear a suit and tie to church, but it doesn't matter how you come in. We realize that Jordan hit on it right there, whether it's the person that we all think about needing the Lord, and they do, the drug addict or the person who's living an immoral, ungodly, wicked life, they need the Lord. Yes, they do. But do you know the best neighbor that you've got? He or she needs the Lord too. You go to hell just the same as a moral person that's clean and neat and makes a lot of money and is good to their neighbors. That person would go to the same hell that the drug user would. They'll just go a little bit better dressed as far as living this life. And the need is the same. It's the blood of Christ that they need in their heart. Because you don't go to hell because you're in some kind of activity per se. We go to hell because we're sinners. And sinners are dressed up sometimes. Sinners are dressed down sometimes, but they all need the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Danny, did you give us something there?
Yeah, I was thinking about this afternoon after you had called, and I was born in 1950, and through my young life, I had a lot of religious influence in my life. And I thank God for a Christian home, Christian family, and a Christian heritage. But in 1963, on November the 13th, I was in church. We were having revival, and we had a special speaker, and he preached on hell that night. And you say, well, yeah, there's a lot of preachers that preach on hell, and it scares you. It didn't scare me that night, but it did wake me up. I realized as a 13-year-old boy that hell was going to be my home if I didn't change something. And he had the good news. He said that Jesus loved me and that he died for my sins. And I believed that.
Amen.
I accepted that. And I went to the altar. Nobody had to pull me down there. Nobody had to twist my arms anyway, but I went down to the altar and I asked the Lord to save me, come into my heart. And he did. And Lord willing, if I see November 13th this year, it'll be 60 years.
Amen.
Listen, I'm a horrible Christian. God knows that in me there is no good. I don't have a leg to stand on, but Jesus' blood.
Amen.
And he shed it for me. And I think about what we're going to observe tonight and what God did because he loved me. Like Brother Jordan said, I'm not lovable, but he loved me. And not only me, but he died for the sins of the whole world. And he went to that cross and he shed that blood. And tonight we're going to partake of that as a symbolism. We're going to remember what he did. But there's also something else. He's a living Savior. And he's coming again.
Yeah.
And we're going to see him again. Thank God for his love for me.
Amen. Amen. Kyle, would you take that to Brother Butch Abbott? Brother Butch, would you mind just sharing a quick word with us for the Lord? And he's always glad to brag on Jesus. And really, that's what we ought to spend our whole life doing. Just bragging on Jesus because he's our Savior. And appreciate that, Brother Abbott.
Yes, I wasn't expecting to say a word, but the first thing that comes to my mind is when I got saved, like the others were talking about. I got saved at the age of 12, started riding an old yellow school bus when I was 11 years old for the first time in my life. Had no idea what church was at 11 years old. I was a blank sheet of paper. Brother Rogers knows a little bit about what I'm talking about and where I got saved. We found out we got saved about 35 miles from each other, thanks to a school bus. And people that ran it. And got saved when I was 12, but when I was 11, I didn't know there were two Testaments. Didn't know there were four Gospels. I couldn't name one for you. Didn't come from a Christian family or home. And yet I realized as time went by that God loves children. He loves children. He loved that grubby little white T-shirt and blue jeans and tennis shoes boy that came in on that bus, saved his soul, and he says, I've got a plan for you. I can mention this, too, that we just had six new, I've been having that problem all day, six new candidates come into our mission to go to the mission field with BIMI. And out of the six new candidates, the oldest that was saved was 16 years old. Another one was 12 years old. Everybody else was like 5, 7, and 8 years old when they were saved. Saved as children, 5 years, 7 years, 8 years, 12 years, 16 years. And yet today they're on the way to the mission field because somebody believed that there was a value in a child. Somebody believed that children were worth it. Somebody believed that I was worth it, that Brother Rogers was worth it,
yeah.
And that these other children that are on their way to the mission field today were saved as just children. The oldest was 16. The others were 12 and under because God knows that children are worth it. It's a brand new sprouting branch, a tree, a plant that's been planted and starts to grow. And God can make it to grow the way he knows it needs to be grown. And I'm thankful for workers that believe in children. Thank God for adults that have time for the little guys, the little girls, to point them in the right direction so that God can do something with them.
Yeah.
Thank God for it. And for this church that believes in buses and believes in kids.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Well, Brother Daniel, would you mind just giving a testimony? You can come up here or down there, whichever, just something of the Lord would have you say, and then we'll get started here in just a moment.
Well, I thank the Lord for the just everything. I honestly, I've been thinking a lot about it just the last couple of days. I taught our Sunday school class on Psalm 23, the Lord is our shepherd. And I've just been thinking over the last few days, just every step of the way of life, how God guided. But what he did to reach me, to reach my family, you know, my mom was not saved. She was showing, furniture or something, some show, and she happened to do a show for a pastor's wife in their home. And after she was done, she was packing everything up, and the pastor just got to talking to her. And my mom has a Catholic background, and he just got talking with her and realized she wasn't saved, and she realized she needed to be, and she got saved that day. Mm-hmm. And I think back on that. I don't know who he was. I'll never know who he was. She doesn't even know who he was, really. But all that God has done in her life and in my life, and the privilege that it is to be part of what God is doing, and to just think, like Jordan said a little while ago, today, just to slow down and think about the action that made it all happen when Jesus died. It's just such a such a wonderful thing to be able to do.
Amen. Well, as I have, I'm sure you've noticed a little theme in, not that we planned it this way. I did ask a few people, and then some of them were just spontaneous, as you could see or hear. But you see a little theme that talked a lot about young people. And, you know, as we look at the young people of our church, and I thank God for our bus ministry. We don't run them on Sunday nights, but they were here this morning. And thank God for the workers that bring folks in because they need to hear the gospel. If statistics are right, 85% of people who get saved before they're 14 or 15 years of age. Not that you can't get saved as a 90-year-old, just statistically speaking, you don't. But I think about the young people. They either come on the buses, but then I think about those that come here. I won't name a bunch of names, but I just think about young people. I think about the Armstrong family that got baptized by their grandpa today. And what a joy it is to see the older generation of Brother Wills, a little younger with Mrs. Wills, of course, but we like to keep on the good side of the ladies around here, you know. But then to see them here, and then Brother Chad's parents being here, just this generational idea of the older showing the younger, and that's exactly the way the Bible says it's supposed to be. And I think about, again, I'm not going to name everybody's kids, but I think about Jordan's kids, and God gave him one, and then they reached out and got little Emery, and God brought her into their family so they can raise her for the Lord. And there are certain ones that just the Lord just uses on a regular basis. I think they're up in the balcony, but Atlee Price and little brother Hudson, and just seeing them and their excitement for the Lord, and their mom and dad are trying to raise them to love the Lord and love their church and love their pastor. And I don't say that selfishly, because I would want them to do it regardless, but it's certainly a blessing to get to see generational godliness. You can't pass down salvation, but you can bring them all the way, and you can't, as one preacher said, God has no spiritual grandchildren, meaning nobody goes to heaven based on their parents' faith. But their parents' faith does bring you real close and just shows you the way, that testimony we talked about this morning. You can live it in front of your kids, and you can teach it, and you can rejoice with them when they finally come to the place where they receive Christ as their Savior. It's such a beautiful thing. And I thank God, and I want you to pray with me that the Lord would allow us to be not only a lighthouse and let us be a lighthouse, not to any one particular age group. We ought to be a lighthouse to everybody. I understand that our style of church is not always that marketable to certain segments of generations, but the gospel works to everybody. And obviously we do what we do because I believe it's a biblical. We're not just here because this is just the way that we happen to be. We're here because this is the way I believe God wants us to have then operate this church, and it's been this way for years. And so I believe that God's going to bring us more and more and more families as we try to keep on staying close to His Word and preaching it and teaching it and just proclaiming it here in this building, but then out and about everywhere. And would you just pray that God would allow families to come in here? You say, Pastor, you talk a lot about growth and you talk a lot about getting people in here. Do you just want a big crowd? Well, I do want a big crowd, but the reason I want a big crowd is because I know that all of our teachers and all of our preachers and all of our ministers are going to be teaching and preaching and ministering the truth from the Word of God, not diluted and not watered down and not half in, half out. It's going to be faith. I believe in all of our Sunday school teachers and all of our junior church preachers and Spanish church and Pathfinders and all of them. I know that they're teaching the Word of God just pure and undiluted, and I don't know that about other places, and there are lots of good places, I know that, but I know this one is we're taking the Word of God and giving it to people. So I want you to continue to pray. I'm so thankful for what God has done, and as we've kind of taken that theme, just as the Lord has led, to think about the youth of our area, the youth of our church, may we continue to see God just bring in folks that desperately need to be trained in His ways. Thank you all that gave a testimony. I appreciate that. Well, I want to preach to you for just a few moments to speak to you from Psalm 32:5. As we're getting ready for the Lord's Supper, I believe it's very, very important that we check ourselves out. The Bible says, let a man examine himself. And So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, examining themselves to see if there's something in our lives that is not right. And we'll have just a moment of quiet time here in just a few moments. If there's something between you and the Savior, I challenge you to make it right. And maybe there's something you can't make right in this room because it involves somebody who's not in this room, but you can make it right with the Lord and say, Lord, I make it right with you. As soon as you give me a chance, I'm going to go and make it right with that individual. The Bible says in Psalm 32:5, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Selah just means pause. It's just a break there. I acknowledge my sin unto the Lord. So in our minds, oftentimes I know that we all have a hatred for sin. But somewhere between our mind and our actions, we loosen up our hatred for sin, and we get a little bit more excusing of it. So in our minds, yes, there's no place, but in our lives, we actively condone it because we continue in it. You say, Pastor, who do you think we are? Well, I think that we're people that if we're not careful, we're continually involved in prideful thinking. I believe that we're continually people who are involved in being a little short and unkind and mean and cantankerous. And you say, well, that's just the way I am. Well, so that's just the way I am naturally. Well, it's also natural for Cain to kill Abel, but it wasn't right. It was his human nature, his fallen human nature. So we can't use that excuse. You may be saying, well, I'm just grumpy. I'm just cantankerous. I'm just old. Well, it's not my fault. We can find ourselves engaging in those old sins, if you will. So we sometimes condone the things that we in our minds say, oh, I know that's wrong. But then when we look at our lives, then we see how we condone those things that we know in our mind are wrong. I want to give you a couple points about this. Number one, it is this. The Old and the New Testament agree about what to do with sin. You know, David came to God after a sin. That's what Psalm 51 is about. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, the Bible says. And David, as he gives that psalm to talk to the Lord, wash me thoroughly and from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He said that, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. And so the Old Testament gives this idea that we're supposed to confess and forsake sin. Now, it's easy for us to confess it. Well, Lord, I messed up again, and then go right back into it. But the biblical method, the biblical way to go is to confess and forsake, to say, Lord, now help me walk a different path than I did. I said the Old Testament and the New Testament agree because we understand that that's said in the Old Testament, but also in 1 John 1:9, which was written to Christian people, the original recipients of that were believers. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, therefore teaches us that the people that were receiving it, because they were Christians, they were also ones that sin. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the Old Testament, the New Testament, talk about this confession, but then it also talks about going away a different way and forsaking it. Confess just means to acknowledge. When somebody comes to the police and they say, I confess it was me, all that they're doing is just admitting to what somebody already knew, to acknowledge or to say the same thing as. And so when you come to God as a believer in God and believer in Christ, you're saved, but you come to him because you've been backslidden in one area or five areas, and you come to him and say, Lord, forgive me, I was wrong. You're not telling anything God he didn't know. All it is you're just agreeing with him. God, you knew it all along. I'm the only one that's been acting like you didn't know something. We confess. And so, first of all, the Old and the New Testament agree about that. But number two, confession is the way to tend to it. And I hope you know what I mean by that. That's what Dad would always say. Yeah, tend to that. T-E-N-D, tend to it. And so that means you got to go take care of it. So confession is really the only way to tend to that. The Bible says in that 1 John passage where it says it cleanses us to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, think with me. Why is it that I can't just quit and do something different? Why do I need to confess? Why can't I just start being nice instead of and not be mean anymore? Why can't I just turn over a new leaf even as a Christian? Why can't I just do better than I used to do? Why not all that? Well, the reason that we come to God and confess is because he cleanses us from all unrighteousness, because remember that every sin was ultimately against him back in our days we got saved. The reason we had to go to him for salvation was because all sin was an egregious offense to him, and so God now can be just in this dealing with sin because he paid for it all. And so the Bible says that even you as a Christian, do you need to ask forgiveness for your sins? Yes, but just not the same way that you asked forgiveness back when you got saved. When you got saved, as several people gave testimony tonight, you had to come to God and ask him for forgiveness of your sins and ask him to be your Savior to save you from your sins. That's because you were on your way to hell. You need to be on your way to heaven, and you wanted Jesus Christ to save you from your sins. And then it'd be a wonderful thing if after that you never did anything wrong past. But that's unfortunately not the way the Bible spells it out, because God leaves that we understand that we still have a fleshly nature. And so because of that, we sin even after salvation. I don't have to go back and say, God, forgive me again, save me again, I should say. Save me, I was lost again, now save me. We don't have to do that, because the Bible still says, or says now, that he deals with me as with a son. I'm just a disobedient son. But God tells me how to deal with that as well. In that passage we read in 1 John, he tells us, as a disobedient son, I come to him, confess it to him, and now he cleanses me from all unrighteousness. This cleansing was different than the cleansing that he gave me originally when I got saved. This cleansing is just to restore that broken fellowship that I have between he and I. It's not to get me on my way to heaven. I'm still on that way to heaven, but we understand that confession is the way to tend to it, as my dad might say. And then, I've already alluded to it, but number three, I always usually give three, is this: after confession, we ought to forsake it. I don't have to ask this question because I know what the answer would be. If I ask you the question, how many of you have a sin that keeps on bothering you? You've asked God to forgive you multiple times, again and again, and I'd be the first one to shoot up my hand. Boy, there's some that just are my besetting sin. There's some things that some of you just, before you know it, you're into a quick argument. Before you know it, you've got words. You can just fling them out like daggers. But after confession, we're supposed to forsake whatever it is, big or small, whatever it is that doesn't line up with the character of God. I want you to think about this for ourselves. Whatever's in my life that doesn't line up with who God is, this is the time to start forsaking those things. Those hatreds, those feelings of hatred that we have against anything except for sin, you can hate that, but those feelings of hatred that you have, that doesn't line up with who the character of God is. That bias and prejudices that you have against somebody for nothing that they had anything to do with, where they were born or who they were born to or whatever, those thoughts that you have that somehow you're superior to somebody else, that doesn't line up with the character of God. So anything that's in your life and your thinking that doesn't line up with who he is, then we ought to forsake it. You say, how do I know? Somebody alluded to it. When you got born again, the Holy Spirit took residence in you. And now you have the Holy Spirit of God, who is God himself, to instruct and teach, guide and lead, convict and comfort. And so when you go through this week, I'm challenging you to be sensitive, listen with a very quick ear to the Lord when he tells you, you know that still small voice that the Bible talks about? He still operates in that way in your life. You ever tried to steer a kid while he's riding his little tricycle or bicycle when he's out of your reach, but he's in danger of running off the little side of the road, and you try to steer him over there, you try to get him to line up? Well, I don't know if it's exactly like that, but I know the Holy Spirit, God himself, who dwells within you as a believer, he tries to lead. You say, why didn't he just make me do it? Well, that's not, again, the nature of God. He wants us to do that as a willing worship of him. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. And so as we think about this tonight, we won't have our traditional invitation. I'll have that in just a little bit. We won't have a traditional invitation, but I just wanted to let you, we don't have to play anything, just think there for a little bit. If there's anything between my soul and the Savior, I challenge you before we have Brother Dan come up and we'll continue on with the Lord's Supper service, that you just make it right. Maybe there's some attitude that you've been harboring that you know is not right. I didn't have to tell you it's not right. I didn't name it and I didn't try to, but the Holy Spirit named it in your life. Maybe you came in here and you're like the joke that I tell, that you were arguing back and forth between your spouse and the car, and you got in here and act like you're a wonderful Christian, but you were just hateful to your wife out there. Maybe it's the time that you confess to the Lord and you lean over and tell her you're sorry as well and that you love her. Because, my friend, we don't have time as Christians to be engaged in all this activity that's not right. It's time to get our lives straightened up. And this is a wonderful time as a church family to get to have this Lord's Supper where we just remember what He did for us. Why would I get right with my wife? Well, because Jesus loves me. Why would I get right with my children? Because Jesus loves me. Why would I get right with somebody else? Because Jesus loves me. You're seeing the theme here. He forgave me of so much. How could I not just be gracious to somebody? Let's pray together. Father, now I pray right now for my good friends who are sitting in front of me and some are watching at home. Lord, I pray that You would settle in heavy on anybody and any of us right now that need to make amends, make something right between You and I. If we confess our sins, You, He, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, Your promise is there. All we have to do is take You up on it. So my friends here tonight, right there where you sit, you're a Christian. If you know the Lord, would you just make sure that everything's right between you and Him? Maybe you could say it like this. The hymn writer said, when I survey the wondrous cross, when you survey that wondrous cross and think about the Prince of Glory that died on that, if tonight were the night that God took us home, would I want to have some little petty thing that I held against somebody, or would I have wanted to get it resolved? I know I'd want to get it resolved. Father, bless us now and thank You for this. Lord, we love You. Thank You for the time to be in Your house. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to ask you to, if you're able to stand, and we're going to sing hymn number 117, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Brother Dan's going to come, and then we'll continue on with the service and have the bread and the cup, and we'll do that together as a church family.
When I survey the
Galatians 6 says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world, near the cross.
may be seated. Most all of you know, but just for those that might not, the Lord's Supper was instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ, gathered his disciples before he went home, or went to the cross. And he told them to take, eat, this is my body. He said to take, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, doing those two things. And then in 1 Corinthians, we find that it's reiterated that churches are supposed to do that until the Lord come. And it says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, it tells that verse where it says, let a man examine himself, as we talked about. It says, whosoever shall eat of the bread and the drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. It says, for as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. So it's a great time as a church family just to stop for a little bit, pause, and remember what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. So the Bible says in verse 24 of 1 Corinthians 11, the apostle writing to the church at Corinth, he's telling about the Lord. He says, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. And I'm going to ask Brother Kyle, if you don't mind, if you have your microphone, just to pray and ask the Lord to bless the bread. And you'll see the bread's on the top of the little cup that you got. So, Kyle, would you pray for us?
Lord, we thank you for dying on the cross for us. Lord, thank you for your love for us. Lord, we didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But Lord, you died in spite of us being sinners. Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for the cross. In your name I pray. Amen.
And so again, the scripture says, if you peel that little cover back, the scripture says, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And then just shortly after that, he talks about the cup. But I'm going to ask Brother Dan to come and lead us in a couple of verses of that wonderful song, There Is a Fountain. You can remain seated, but there is a fountain filled with blood.
There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. I am sinners plunged beneath that flood. Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath.
There's just something so wonderful about a church singing together, when you can hear your voices singing about a familiar theme about the blood of Jesus Christ. I think I could just go on and be with the Lord, and I would be a happy person. And I know you don't get to hear it from here. I get to hear all of you singing at me, and thank you for doing that. And I trust that's indicative of us just being in tune together with the Lord and what he's done. As the apostle gives the instructions to the church of Corinth, he says, when he had given thanks, he brake it and said about the bread. And then he said, then in the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. So I'm going to ask Brother Dan, if you don't mind, to pray and ask God's blessings on the cup and what it represents, the precious, precious blood of Christ.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for shedding perfect blood to pay the price for my sin. Lord, I cannot begin to imagine what it must have felt like hanging on the cross and to have literally every single drop of blood exit your body. But Lord, I'm so thankful you did. And I'm so thankful that you did it with me in mind. Every individual ever thought of, the whole world, you had them in mind when you did it. You did it for us. I'm so thankful. So undeserving, but so thankful. Thank you for precious shed blood on the cross of Calvary. In Jesus' name.
So as Jesus said that night, he said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." And if you'll notice, the top there has got a tab you can pull off as well. "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." What a wonderful joy as a church family just to get to stop and remember why we even know each other. You ever think about that? If it weren't for the shed blood of Jesus Christ and salvation through His name, most of us would not even cross paths. The Lord's awfully good to us. It says when the Lord instituted, when they'd sung a hymn, they went out on the Mount of Olives. We'll do that in just a little bit. I love the song that Brother Dan chose, and that's "It Is Well With My Soul." We're going to sing it in just a little bit, but before we do that, I'm going to ask Miss Michelle and if you just begin to play. And if you're able to, would you stand together, and Miss Cole as well on the organ. And this would be our invitation time, because tonight I never like to stop a service without giving somebody an opportunity. You've seen the best portrayal of what salvation was. It was we remembered the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. He shed that and broke that body for you. If you're here tonight, not sure that you're saved, would you step out and come and let somebody take a Bible and show you how you could be saved? A good friend of ours, Brother Bill, we've got to meet over the last weeks. He's coming to join the church tonight. Maybe you'd like him. You say, "I believe Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church should be my church home." Would you come? Maybe there's some other need you have in your heart. You need to be baptized. Maybe you need to follow the Lord in baptism. We'll take care of that real soon. Maybe you have some other need in your heart that you'd like to come and share with us as they play through and God's speaking your heart. Would you mind the Lord and come and pray? Maybe there's some other issue you need to pray about. Why don't you come and do that? Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, it's a great joy. We're thankful for the ones that joined this morning, but Bill Sinks has been coming now for some time. He's saved. He's baptized. He loves the Lord. And the Lord has moved on his heart to come and join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and we rejoice about that. And we'd like to have somebody make a motion that we receive him into membership. Brother Leroy Shepherd makes the motion. We receive him. Brother Larry Stover seconds that motion. All in favor, say aye. All opposed, same sign. Amen. So motion so carries, and we praise the Lord, and I hope that you'll get by and introduce yourself to him, let him know who you are, and that you'll be praying one for another. And we thank God for him. We want you to be praying for him as he is like the rest of us, just trying to navigate this world, living for Jesus, and trying to be a testimony for him. And so we thank the Lord. Along with him joining, we also would like to take into membership the Armstrong children. So, Chad, can you name them all out for me? Your dad, your father-in-law didn't do so good, so can you help me with that?
Levi, Caleb, Joy, Nathan, and Grace.
And so all of them got baptized this morning, but I forgot to tell you they'd like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church along with their family, so we would need a motion to do that. Brother Marty Scroggs and Brother Danny, Marty Scroggs first it, or whatever you call that, and then Danny Jenkins seconds it. I don't know if you can first something or not, but he makes the motion, and then Danny seconds it. All in favor, say aye. All opposed, same sign. Listen, they don't train you for all this stuff in Bible college. Some of it they forgot, or else I wasn't there that day. So praise the Lord for the Armstrongs, and thank the Lord for Brother Chad's parents being here as well. And we're thankful for the wonderful, wonderful day. Hope you get by and meet our new members over there, and then also Bill Sinks up here. And it's been a great place to be in God's house. I hope you're not in a hurry. I hope that you would greet at least four or five people. I'm convinced more than ever that our church needs to be doing a lot of fellowshipping. And I know we can't get it all done after service. I know we got to do some things other times, but this is a great start. And be bearing one another's burdens, fellowshipping one with another. And so I just challenge you to be doing that. Well, Brother Dan, why don't you come lead us in that song, It Is Well. And that'll be our going home song. Let's sing it out. I'm going to slip to the back. And I'm going to take Franco with me. And this is last service here at Buffalo Ridge. Franco, we've enjoyed having you. You're a pleasure. And you're much better than some of the interns we've had. So... it's been a joy to have you. God bless you. We'll go back that way. Brother Dan.
Number 375.
When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea
Have a great evening.